Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Gail Daughtry is living out her dream life in small-town Texas, all set to marry Tom, her high school sweetheart. Until everything falls apart when she catches her fiancé having sex with a movie star. His celebrity past they jokingly agreed to years earlier, so in a panic, she follows her friend Otto, who owns the beauty salon she works at, all the way to L.A. Once there, she decides to find her own celebrity past, John Hamm, and have sex with him. She believes this is the only way to rescue their marriage. And on her picaresque journey to find the actor, she encounters an apprentice agent, a paparazzo, and a washed-up actor, all of whom agree to help her out. But what she doesn't realize is she's being stalked by assassins working for a wicked mobster with whom she accidentally swapped suitcases at the airport. With all these obstacles in her way, will Gail Daughtry ever sleep with her celebrity past? Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Past is a new adult coming-of-age comedy about a young woman in Hollywood realizes she's not in Kansas anymore. It's a combination slapstick, screwball, sketch, and parody comedy that combines innocence and naivete as viewed through a sexualized lens. It's written, directed, and produced by award-winning filmmaker and TV director David Wayne, known for his offbeat humor in movies like Role Models and Wanderlust, and TV series like Children's Hospital and the legendary and seminal Wet Hot American Summer, and its various sequels. Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Past opens theatrically this weekend in Toronto, and I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom David Wayne to tell us more about it. Hi, David.
Good to be here, Daniel.
Thanks so much for meeting with me. Okay.
Pleasure.
So to start, for listeners who don't know what it is, could you explain what is a celebrity pass?
I mean, it's just this idea that if you're in a couple and then if you have a crush on a certain celebrity, you can make an agreement between the two of you saying that if I happen to meet this celebrity and have a chance to have sex with them, then I have my full license from you to do so, and vice versa. And it's not something that I think couples ever take seriously. It's just sort of a funny thing to talk about.
Well, I mean, if you care to say, what would be your fantasy celebrity sex pass?
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
You know, funny, people have asked me that, and I don't really have one. I feel like, I guess when I was a kid, I really always had a big crush on Cheryl Ladd, so that would probably be my
one. Oh, yeah. not Farrah Fawcett.
Well, I mean, she's great too. But if I had to pick one.
Okay. So in addition to the pass, there's a second theme. From the title on down, the story is a tribute to the Wizard of Oz and to the city of L.A., which serves as a surrogate Emerald City. So the movie, you know, I'm talking Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, Cowardly Lion, Wicked Witch, all in important roles, but it's never explicitly mentioned by name. So why did you choose The Wizard of Oz as the theme, and why did you keep it under wraps, in a manner of speaking?
Basically, as we were constructing the story, myself and Ken Marino, we just sort of realized at a certain point that it has a feel and a thematic and story structure resemblance to Wizard of Oz, and we decided instead of trying to run away from it, we would lean deeply into it and make it another fun layer of the movie. And then we also, though, made the decision to make the clues that it is Wizard of Oz, put them in every scene, but make them subtler at first so that different audience members at different points discover that it has that connection at different points in the process. And it's a fun discovery on the audience's part when they realize what the connection is.
And I would say the third theme of the movie is Los Angeles itself.
Yeah.
Do you live there? Or?
I do live here. I moved here about 13 years ago after having spent the rest of my adult life in New York City. And so I feel like both an outsider and someone who kind of knows it. And yes, it's a little bit of our take on this town and Hollywood as a fantasy and how it mixes with Hollywood as reality.
I understand they're shooting fewer and fewer movies there, so it's nice to see one about L.A. that's shot in L.A.
Yes, it's actually shockingly rare for especially an independent small feature film comedy to shoot in L.A. The first thing you talk about when you're making any movie is where are we going to shoot it anywhere but L.A.? And so for the whole community that's been here for 100 years, it's really quite a great thing to be able to do this here.
I'm speaking with writer, director, producer, actor David Wayne about his hilarious new movie, Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass, which is opening this weekend in Toronto. I understand you had your start in sketch comedy and that you still work with many of the people from your original troupe. So could you talk about what role does sketch comedy play in the making of this film and in the execution of it?
Well, my background, as you said, is in sketch comedy and specifically with this group called The State. And I have continued to work with the different members of this 11-member troupe throughout the decades of my career. And I co-wrote this movie with Ken Marino and many of the other members are in the film. So I think our sketch comedy background can't help but permeate all the work we do. I don't know that we're consciously saying, okay, this has a sketch comedy flavor to it at all. We're just writing something that we find is funny, and all of our experience can't help but inform it.
Was it completely scripted before you shot, or was it fiddled with along the way?
Well, we are always adjusting and tweaking and you know, and there is some improvisation, but possibly less than it might seem. We work really hard to get it right on the page.
And was it shot chronologically or?
Not at all. No, it was a low budget film. We were running all over LA and shooting using every trick in the book we could to get this done in 21 packed shoot days.
One aspect of the film I really like is, while I keep wanting to call her Dorothy, but Gail Daughtry is a completely sweet and small town and naive, but the movie itself is all about sex. So talk about the interplay of naivete, if you want, and sex.
Well, I think that just speaks to something that, you know, the thematic underpinnings of the movie are really secondary in our priority to making a comedy that is funny and that we think is entertaining. And so the contrast that you mentioned is, I think, some of the fuel for some of the jokes is that, you know, she's so naive, but she's not afraid to use both sex and violence to try to save her relationship.
There's a whole lot of celebrities who appear as themselves, but in a sort of a not the most complimentary way. I'm talking Henry Winkler, John Slattery, Weird Al Yankovic, John Hamm, Jennifer Aniston. How did you get pretty A-list actors to portray themselves in a less than favorable way?
I think it's just that we were doing something novel that, you know, isn't the type of thing that these celebrities normally get to do. And we're asking not too much of them in terms of their time. And luckily, Ken Marino and I have been around enough to have gotten to know most of these people at one point or another. And so we were able to contact them directly and just say, hey, we're doing this thing. Could you come in for a day, any day you want? And amazingly, they were all so game to do it, which is, you know, very grateful for.
I mean, there's at least 10 others I didn't even mention. Some people on for just a second.
Right. Yeah. It's fun to just sort of discover, you know, all the little, and we try to use each celebrity cameo in a slightly different way. So it just, there's some fun novelty to it.
How would you describe your style of humor? I mean, to me, I talked about slapstick and screwball and all this, but there's also not childlike, but there's always sort of a hearkening back to a childhood feeling in a lot of the humor.
I don't think that's incorrect at all. I think a lot of times I sometimes think that I have the same sense of humor I had when I was eight and sort of try to preserve that. I mean, it's hard to label your own innate sense of humor, but I feel like you could say absurdist, you could say anti-comedy sometimes, but, you know, in practice for myself internally, it's just, if something makes me laugh, that's my comedy.
What made you laugh when you were 8 years old?
What made me laugh when I was 8 years old? I think funny voices was one that, you know, when people, and of course, just like, you know, poo poo doo doo, whatever. I don't know.
And finally, what do you want viewers to take away from the film other than pure entertainment?
Honestly, not too much. I mean, I think it's a real clarion call for me to make a comedy that is not trying to be anything but a comedy, and have, I think we've seen that as we've taken this to the Sundance and other festivals and pre-screenings, that people really, really are needing to get together with a group, watch something and laugh hard. And that's the goal here. You know, we're not trying to do anything else. And I think that's important.
I saw it on a screener, not with a large audience, but I was laughing most of the time. So it succeeded for that. Thanks so much.
With an audience is really great. I encourage you to come see it in the theater. Al should be there on the 18th.
Oh, excellent.
Doing a Q&A. Yeah.
So thanks so much for talking with me, David.
My pleasure. Thank you.
David Wayne's new comedy, Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Packs, opens this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.